Here are the stories we're covering this week in the Category5.tv newsroom. OnePlus confirmed on Friday that thieves have siphoned tens of thousands of credit card numbers from its online store. Buses used to transport Apple employees to their offices have had their windows smashed, possibly by pellet guns. A new botnet is infecting cryptocurrency mining computers and replacing wallet addresses with its own. A remote-controlled drone in Australia saved two boys in the water on its first day of use by lifeguards. These stories are coming right up. Don't go anywhere.
Whether you shop on ThinkGeek, GearBest, B&H Photo Video, eBay, or Amazon, or even if you want a free trial of Audible, you'll find the best deals and support the shows we produce by simply visiting the shopping sites you already frequent by using the links on our website. Visit category5.tv/partners for the full and ever-growing list and help us create more free content like this show. Thank you for shopping with our partners, and thank you for watching.
This is the Category5.tv newsroom, covering the week's top tech stories with a slight Linux bias.
I'm Sasha Rickman, and here are the top stories we're following this week. OnePlus confirmed on Friday that thieves have siphoned tens of thousands of credit card numbers from its online store. The Chinese phone company admitted after a week of probing that about 40,000 of its customers have had payment card details nicked while they were buying stuff from its web shop. Crooks were quick to start plundering victims' accounts using swiped information, going on shopping sprees with the stolen card data. Here's how it went down. One of the store's servers was hacked and its code modified so that between mid-November 2017 and January 11th of this year, bank card details that were typed into OnePlus.net by shoppers were copied and then sent over to miscreants. Specifically, the software was tampered with to harvest the numbers, names, and security codes on cards before they were encrypted and sent to OnePlus payment processor. The server had since been quarantined and the malicious code removed. OnePlus said people who opted to use PayPal were not affected, nor were anyone who had paid with a credit card that they had saved to the site prior to November 11th, because those cards had already been encrypted by the payment provider and saved only as tokens by OnePlus.
Wow.
So if the credit card information has been stolen, and then those thieves have gone ahead and gone on these sprees, do you know
if you would buy a boat.
Do you get your money back? Is this something that's... I mean, credit cards typically have insurance.
Sure they do, yeah. And credit card providers have insurance so that they're covered from this kind of thing, just like any theft, right?
Right.
Some credit card companies, if you do not report it as stolen, you can be liable for a small fee. So in America, for example, I think that the cap is $50. So right. So if they spend more than that, you're still only liable for $50. And this is not legal advice. This is just a statement. So
I have a follow-up question.
So, okay. Did that answer your question?
Somewhat.
Well?
I have a secondary
Okay, this is
question.
Like, this is like a bullet point
yeah,
of that
same
question?
Yeah, this is a footnote of that same question.
Oh, yes.
Would OnePlus automatically be alerting those as stolen to the actual credit card manufacturer, like the actual credit card
Would they
providers?
Be alerting the customers?
Would or the credit card providers?
Oh.
Right? Is it on the customer to say, hey, my stuff's been stolen, or is OnePlus liable for sending that information?
I think, but this is a different case because these are not stolen credit cards. These are stolen credit card numbers.
Right.
And when your credit card number is stolen, but you still hold the physical card, you are not at all liable.
Good.
Yes.
Okay.
So that's covered. So you do need to report that your number has been stolen. In this case, yeah, you're probably right. OnePlus has most likely gone ahead and notified the credit card companies. However, if you're a OnePlus customer and you've shopped on their website, I would suggest that you still reach out to your credit card company and just let them know, hey, I'm a little concerned about this, so that they can note it on the file, so that if there is any odd spending, then you know that that you're covered at least to the point where you've reported it.
To be honest with you, I think OnePlus should probably just, to the actual credit card companies,
yeah.
just, and I realize that this is encrypted information, really, and probably not.
No, it's not.
It's not, I guess. But
no, understand, what's happened here is a man-in-the-middle attack.
Right.
So when I go on and I enter my credit card information, mm-hmm. normally it goes through an encrypted connection to the payment processor.
Right.
The OnePlus never sees the credit card number. The payment processor responds with the first four and last four and says, yes, that was a good transaction, you got your money, or no, it didn't go through, and here's why. So OnePlus would never actually have the credit card number.
So
that's why they use tokens. So the payment processor, which is the bank, they hold the credit card numbers, they know the credit card numbers. OnePlus has a token that refers back to that transaction.
Right.
Okay, so in this case, a man in the middle got into the code and started making it so that when that credit card number is being transmitted, before it gets transmitted to the payment processor, it first gets transmitted in an unencrypted form to the miscreant.
Oh,
so it's going to two places.
Right.
So they're not stealing credit card numbers from OnePlus's database. That wasn't possible. In this case, they're copying the credit card number as it's being submitted for a processed payment.
Right. I mean, I check my balances and my activity on the daily. And I have my phone linked so that if any purchase is made, it messages me.
Oh, yes? Oh, cool.
So, like, I know what comes out of my account.
Yeah.
But some people don't. Some people wait till they get their bill at the end of the month. And could you imagine if a boat had been, like, you went on OnePlus.net and you bought, like, one thing. And then all of a sudden you're, like,
my new phone cost me $40 million?
What?
Yeah, really.
All right. Buses used to transport Apple employees to their offices have had their windows smashed, possibly by pellet guns. There have been several such attacks on the morning and evening commutes to and from Apple headquarters in the Californian city of Cupertino. Local news website SFGate reported that a Google bus had also been targeted. There have been no reported injuries, and there is no suggestion that the perpetrator is targeting a particular company. The attacks could be linked to previous ill feelings about how the tech sector is causing a gentrification of San Francisco and the surrounding area. In 2013, a bus carrying Google employees also had its windows smashed, followed by protests over how well-paid sector had pushed up house prices in the city. The current attacks all took place on Highway 280, with reports suggesting that Apple is now diverting its buses from that road, adding 30 to 45 minutes to the commute.
Yikes.
So now that autonomous buses and transport is happening, do you think that this will increase? Because now they're...
Maybe, eh? I mean, if you think about it, so gentrification is happening, whether you want to deny it or not, and and what that means is that the tech sector is bringing in high-paid employees.
Right.
So because of that, now the demand is there for higher-grade restaurants,
right?
More expensive grocery stores, better convenience stores, and all this kind of, so the price of living goes way up. So then the people who have already been living there, whose income does not go way up, are affected. And
right.
So would a bus that is autonomous yet carrying employees, would it not be a target in that?
It's a symbol of the...
It is a symbol of that.
Of the gentrification, I guess.
Of what's going on in the community, but also... Because it's autonomous, it almost feels like, I don't know why the driver makes it feel this way, whether there's a driver or not a driver, but the autonomous nature of that bus makes it seem like it's like attacking a robot versus attacking a person.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Maybe they just need to have a security person sitting in where the driver would.
Maybe. Maybe there is. I mean, autonomous vehicles still require somebody
That's
behind
true.
The wheel.
Right.
I
would honestly say if I was being attacked on a commuting vehicle and then the route was changed, so it was adding 30 to 45 minutes.
Bring your guitar.
Well, to be honest with you, I would just drive myself. Right?
Well,
like, why would I take a shuttle if A, I knew it was getting attacked, and B, if to keep from getting attacked, I was going to have to take this huge detour, so it's no longer saving anything. right? Because if you were doing it for gas savings, or if you were doing it, you know, in some sort of environmentally friendly reason, you're not any longer if you're diverting by 45 minutes.
Wow.
So then why wouldn't you drive yourself?
Yeah.
Or
a lot of these people may not have vehicles even. Sure, they're highly paid, but you're there on an internship or whatever.
Right.
And you're there for 6 months.
And you don't need a vehicle.
Are you going to rent a vehicle? Are you going to buy a vehicle? Maybe they've been, you know, they've come overseas to work at Google.
Man.
It's a tough thing.
That is tough. And there's just got to be some sort of, I don't know, maybe video cameras on the outside of it, but then that's privacy. I don't know. I can't solve
that. Armor. Just like, it's going to look like Total Recall, the first one. Like armored vehicles traveling by way of Johnny Robot.
Oh, my. Satori, the malware family that wrangles routers, security cameras, and other internet-connected devices into potent botnets, is crashing the cryptocurrency party with a new variant that secretly infects computers dedicated to the mining of digital coins. A version of Satori that appeared earlier this month exploits weaknesses in the Claymore miner. After gaining control of the coin mining software, the malware replaces the wallet address the computer owner uses to collect newly minted currency with an address controlled by the attacker. From then on, the attacker receives all the coins generated, and owners are none the wiser unless they have taken the time to manually inspect their software configuration. Records show that the attacker-controlled wallet has already cashed out slightly more than one Ethereum coin that was valued at as much as $1,300 when the transaction was made. The records also showed that the attacker is actively mining more, with a calculation power of about 2.1 billion hashes per second. That's roughly equivalent to the output of 85 computers, each running a Radeon X480 graphics card, of more than 1,100 computers running a GeForce GTX 560M. It's not clear precisely how the new variant is infecting mining computers. What is known is that Satori works primarily on the Claymore mining equipment that allows management actions on 3,333 ports with no password authentication enabled, which is the default configuration. Yeah.
No password.
So now, is there a way, if you realize that this has happened to you, for you to...
You have to check. See, because the whole idea behind a Bitcoin miner is that you create a server that goes and mines currency nonstop, and you just let it go. The whole idea is... You do the work, little server.
Right.
And I want to be hands off and just make money off of this. And it has to be that way, because a lot of the folks who are really into this and making money off of it are very, you know, it's built, it's running, it's 24/7, and it's making me money.
Right.
What happens when currency is mined, when cryptocurrency is mined, is that it goes into a digital wallet, if you will. Okay, that's the term that we use. And what is happening, quite frankly, is that this wallet is being replaced with the wallet of the thief. So now, as the coin is being mined, it's going into their wallet, and your wallet is gone.
Right.
So you can look at your wallet and you'd say, my miner has been running for 2 weeks and I haven't made even a nanoscopic amount of money. How's that possible? And then you might look and say, okay, from this, you know, the hash that is my wallet, would you notice that, wait a minute, that's not my wallet.
Right.
That's someone else's wallet.
Would the average person notice that?
Would the average person run a miner? Not likely.
So
there's somebody who runs a miner would probably know the first few digits of their wallet hash for sure. I mean, you'd recognize it, like your credit card. You may not memorize your credit card number, but you know the last four digits, I'm sure.
You probably know what's not your credit card number.
Yeah, exactly. So, but boy, this has created a botnet of all these stolen computer, like hijacked computers that are that are putting their money into this person's wallet.
At a crazy rate. So I don't know a lot about all the different types of cryptocurrency. I thought there was only one. And it turns out...
Oh, the naivete.
Turns out that there are more than one.
There is a Whopper coin.
Oh, yeah. I thought that there were two because I remember the Whopper coin story.
Yes, all right. Yeah.
Wow. So, yeah, check your wallet.
Double check that your Whopper coin is going into your the correct Whopper savings account.
And also, password everything. Don't stick with the default configuration.
Yes. No oh, my password. Goodness. No.
Even I know that. Yep. All right. We've reported in the past about neat ways that drones can be used, like a combination defibrillator and first aid kit that can fly into disaster areas much more quickly than emergency responders. But now, put to the test in Australia, Little Ripper, the lifeguard drone, saved not one but two young boys on its first day of service. Little Ripper is a remote-controlled multicopter that carries a flotation device. On its first day of service off the coast of Lennox Head in Australia, the drone was used to drop a flotation device for two boys in distress. Traditionally, lifeguards would have had a great deal of trouble reaching the boys, who were struggling in the waves far out from shore. It's estimated that it would have taken lifeguards at least 6 minutes to reach them. But the drone, controlled by an onshore lifeguard, reached them in only 70 seconds. The lifeguard launched the drone, spotted the boys, flew it over to them, and remotely dropped the flotation device. The boys were able to grab it and swim to shore. The drone is manufactured by a company called Little Ripper Lifesaver, founded by Kevin Weldon after he witnessed a drone canvassing the streets of New Orleans after Hurricane Katrina and realized its life-saving potential. The marine pod that was dropped in this case contained a water-triggered flotation device, which is repackable and reusable. The company is now testing a saltwater-activated electromagnetic shark repellent device with plans to include it in its future kit.
Wow.
What a great story.
That is
what
cool.
What a tech win. Awesome.
Win for the drones.
Yes. And to be honest with
you. Finally, a drone that's a good guy.
And to be honest with you, this shark repellent one.
That's neat.
That's going to actually save the lives of sharks and people. Because now they'll be able to drop the shark deterrent in. And then they will be lowering the number of shark attacks. And perhaps then changing our views on sharks, which are also awesome beasts, even though they like to eat people.
Well, this got really dark really quick.
Yeah. Well, they don't like to eat people, actually. They just like to bite them. Anyway, really good job. So, big thanks to Roy W. Nash and our community of viewers for submitting stories to us this week. Thanks for watching the Category5.tv newsroom. Don't forget to like and subscribe for all your tech news with a slight Linux bias. And for more free content, be sure to check out our website. From the Category5.tv newsroom, I'm Sasha Rickman.